This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation. Rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, we're going to talk about privilege coming up in the next hour here. Set your dial for hour three coming up in a little bit here because talk about a couple of things that are going on where a comedy festival charging more if you're white, especially if you're a dude, because you're a white male, you get to pay more to go in the door. And I think that's, you know, somebody's got to challenge that. And then there's a new app out there that'll, you know, when you divide up your check at dinner. Yeah. If you're a white dude, you pay the majority of the check. Yeah. It's called, what's that thing called? What's this app called? I'll come up with it for you. Equipay. Yeah. We'll get to that in the next day. Just set your dial for that. That'll really turn you on to get you rolling through your Friday. Let's start with this, though. A wind turbine located in Huron County collapsed during the storm, during this winter storm that brought the wind and snow. The cause of the collapse is unclear, they say. I found this on MLive. The Exelon Corporation turbine located near Gagetown and Richardson Roads in Oliver Township. Oliver Township Planning Commission Chair Brian Dickens lives about a third of a mile from the damaged turbine. It's not damaged. It's in pieces. It's shredded. It looks like a 747 that, you know, that augured into the ground at 500 miles an hour. I'm not going to speculate. It was just a mechanical failure, he said. Well, gee, if the wind blows too much and there's snow on the things and they get out of balance because there's snow and ice on a turbine, is that going to bring these things down? And I can tell you, you know, there's a pickup truck in this one picture here that looks like an ant compared to this pile of twisted metal and so forth. They're lucky somebody didn't get killed or a building didn't get destroyed. They say, and it happened at 5 in the morning, they say the nearest home is about a third of a mile away. Dickens says the zoning ordinance we have in place prevented anything from happening to anybody or anything. The problem is we're putting up these turbines all over the place. You're going to have failure, a catastrophic failure like that. I don't know how often, but obviously not a good thing. But take that bit of knowledge and add it to this. Researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, have now confirmed what many in the energy world already knew. Without government support or high taxes, green energy will never be able to compete with conventional, more reliable power sources and power plants. That was released just yesterday. MIT has determined that conventional energy would be and will be consistently less expensive than green energy for the next decade and probably considerably longer. The study concludes that the government could only make green energy competitive by offering enormous, their word, not mine, enormous amounts of taxpayer support. That means green energy can't work unless you tax basically everything. The study confirms that green energy can only work when energy prices are extremely high and require government support. Projections from the International Energy Agency estimate that developing wind and solar power just to be sustainable and have any impact globally would cost in excess of $16 trillion in the next 12 years. More than $16 trillion in the next 12 years just to be sustainable. Windmills, here's a quote. Windmills, solar panels, and ethanol could not compete with coal, natural gas, and oil without mandates and subsidies, even when the price of the conventional fuels was relatively high, says Myron Ebel, director of the Center for Energy and Environment at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He shared those thoughts with the Daily Caller. Now that prices for fossil fuels have plummeted, very little renewable energy capacity will be installed, and thus the mandates and the subsidies are raised even higher. Even higher. That means more tax dollars. Because oil is more affordable now, and coal is more affordable, and natural gas and so forth. So in order for these, for the pursuit of windmills and turbines like the one that collapsed in Huron County, solar panels and all of that, it'll require a lot more of your tax money. The MIT study also noted that solar and wind power are more than twice as expensive as natural gas, and tax on carbon dioxide emissions could increase electricity prices enough for green sources to compete. Even environmental groups such as the Sierra Club are increasingly worried that cheap energy will make the case for green power much, much weaker. That's from MIT. And they understand what's going on. And what's going on is we're getting a sham here. By the way, from the National Bureau of Economic Research, critics also say that carbon taxation disproportionately harms, surprise, the poorest members of society. No kidding. You mean if electricity prices go up, Steve, the people that can least afford it get hit the hardest? That's kind of the way it works, boys and girls. That study by the NBER found that a carbon tax would double the tax burden on the poorest households, making it effectively impossible to have both a carbon tax and a living wage. A tax on all man-made greenhouse gas emissions would make the tax burden on the poorest households three times greater than those that are in upper incomes, at least three times greater. Only four nations actually have carbon tax today: Ireland, Sweden, Chile, and Finland. The largest economy to ever have a carbon tax, Australia, repealed it in 2014 over the concerns that it was deeply harming their economy. Australia is getting destroyed. No country taxes carbon dioxide emissions at the levels deemed necessary to substantially mitigate global warming by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change from the United Nations. And there you have it. And there you have it. So from MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, saying, unless you tax the daylights out of everybody for everything, this notion that windmills are going to power the world, you know, it's just not, it doesn't work that way. And windmills are never going to power an 18-wheeler down the highway through Nebraska or Montana or through the UP or freight trains down the tracks on solar panels. It's not going to work that way. So we might as well find a way to make it work better with what we have great abundance of, don't you think? Why squander the tax dollars and get little return? Maybe we should invest that into different things like infrastructure, like roads and bridges. Just an idea. Just an idea. Straight ahead, speaking of enjoying ourselves with fossil fuels, how about a little race day at Michigan International Speedway? Our good friend Roger Curtis will join us here on the program in just a moment. It's Free for All Friday on the Steve Gerber Show.
Getting your day started with news from around the state and around the world. Common Sense Radio. This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Here in my car, I go safest of all. I can lock on my doors. It's the only way to live in cars.
All right, welcome back to it. It is Free for All Friday here on the program. And yes, we're all buried in snow, and it was a big snowstorm, biggest snow event of the season for us here in southern Michigan. But sweep that snow out of your mind and think about warmer, nicer weather and going to Michigan International Speedway and enjoying some of the great events that happen down there, because that's what we're going to talk about next. So go to your happy place, and maybe your happy place is MIS. I know it is for Roger Curtis, the president of MIS. Welcome back to the program, Roger.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So buried in snow, but we have dreams of warmer weather.
We do. I mean, the summer is going to be great. You got to have something to hang on to, well, you know, and aspirational right now. But I love the snow, so I'm okay with it. But we are gearing up. We started the NASCAR season down in Daytona last weekend with an amazing, closest finish in the history of the Daytona 500. Daytona Rising, a $400 million project to increase the fan experience for our NASCAR fans down there. It was a phenomenal hit. So the season is off and going there in Atlanta this weekend. And, you know, it will be June before you know it here in the Irish Hills. So yeah. You can start planning now.
It's almost time. And you know, the advice that I, you know, it might be snowing and cold. And I like the snow, too. Don't get me wrong, Roger. But I also, you know, I like spring weather and I like going down to the track and so forth. And if the past couple of years are any indication, now would be a good time to make those plans to get a good ticket for the race. Because if you don't, let's be honest, they're quite popular and tickets become harder to come by as we get closer, right?
Yeah, attendance really spiked for us last year, grew after, like most businesses in Michigan, you know, we came out of the recession and we're starting to see growth again in camping, grandstand seats. So we're excited about that. They're all on sale right now. We've got a great new Jeff Gordon package that we just rolled out during the Daytona 500 with a chance to do a Q&A session with Jeff, some food and beverage, a couple good race tickets for both races in June, the NASCAR Xfinity Series race on Saturday, and then, of course, the Firekeepers Casino 400 Sprint Cup Series race on Sunday, June the 12th. Great package there. I know there's a lot of Jeff Gordon fans. And he's still very popular despite being in the broadcast booth now, not on the racetrack. But great guy, and he's going to do an awesome Q&A session with all the fans to get that package.
So tell me about that. I mean, is it a few of the fans that buy this package get to hang out with the guy in a room and say, hey, what was it like to race here? Or what was your favorite part? You just get to hang out with him and talk? That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, and Jeff is great at that. He loves answering questions. He loves the race fans. He's got a little bit more time on his hands now than when he was a race car driver. And he had said, hey, anything I can do when I come back to the track, now that I'm not driving, to interact with the fans and help you guys create a great experience, I'd love to do. And so we put together this package with him. And he's still such a great ambassador for our sport. I thought he did a great job during the broadcast last weekend and really look forward to listening to him at all the races this year.
And actually, I'm looking at this this package that you put together. You know, it's a pretty good deal. It's only $124, and it's got a whole pile of stuff with it. Why don't you go ahead and tell the folks? I mean, for $124, that's a pretty good deal this day and age.
Yeah, you get $20 in money to spend on food and beverage at MIS. You get the two reserve seats, one for Saturday, the Xfinity Series race, and then the Firekeepers 400 on Sunday, June the 12th. So two reserve grandstand seats. They're great seats, by the way. And then a Q&A session with Jeff Gordon that weekend. We haven't scheduled that one yet. We don't know if it's going to be Saturday or Sunday morning, but that definitely will be part of the package. And you got a two-day ticket anyways with it. So we're excited to roll that out. It's very popular right now. I'm sure we're going to have to cut it off at some point. I just don't know what the final numbers will be, but if you grab one now, you don't have to worry about it.
Right. And while I've got you on the phone, you know, for the folks that want to come to MIS but don't want to see cars go really fast and spend time with Jeff Gordon, of course, coming up in July, Faster Horses return, the Stampede there at MIS, which has become one of the premier country music festivals in all of America. And I tip my hat to you on that again. But another Faster Horses on tap for mid-July.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. Just found out a couple days ago, actually, that it was nominated for Music Festival of the Year in the United States. And we'll find out April 3rd if we won that. But hats off to Live Nation. They put together another stellar lineup this year with Jason Aldean, Lady Antebellum, Sam Hunt, Eric Church, many, many others. And, you know, that has become really our third NASCAR weekend. The size and scope of it is as large. So the camping is actually larger right now. So you're talking about getting your tickets and getting camping. That's not just for the NASCAR races, it's for Faster Horses as well. So it's going to be a great summer. I know, like you said, when you look out and you see all the white stuff on the ground right now, it's kind of hard to envision NASCAR and summer and grilling and campfires and sitting around listening to Eric Church and things like that. But I tell you, it's going to be here before we know it, and it's going to be an awesome summer this year at MIS.
It sure does sound like it. All right, if people want to find out more, Roger, where do they go? Is a place that
sure
they can go and check it out?
You can go to mispeedway.com is our website. If you want to talk to someone in person, it's 800-354-1010. Those dates again, June 10 through 12, for the NASCAR Firekeepers Casino 400 weekend. Faster Horses, July 15 through 17. And then August, little date change here because of the Olympics helping NBC out with their coverage. We moved the August weekend, the Pure Michigan 400, back a couple weeks. That is now August 26th through 28th. So mark that on your calendars, and I look forward to seeing everyone out there.
So that's kind of a late date on a race for you guys, but just to help out and not compete with the Olympics. Probably a pretty good move for everybody.
Yeah, it is. Assuming the Olympics happen now with all the news coming out of Rio. But, yeah, we wanted to help NBC out. They're a great partner for our sport, obviously showing all the races and a great broadcast partner. So I know the Olympics are very, very important to them. So we moved back just for 1 year. We'll be moving back to our traditional August date next year in 2017. But this year, August 26th through 28th for the Pure Michigan 400 race weekend.
All right. Roger Curtis, the president of Michigan International Speedway. Man, it sounds like a great year. Thanks for stopping in.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
There you have it, everybody. Roger Curtis here on the Steve Gruber Show. Dust it off and let's run around the track. We'll be right back.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
Never before have I turned on you when you look too good to me. Your beady eyes that could cut me in two and I just can't let you be. But it's a free for all and a heart of sin. You can bet your life. Stakes are high and so am I.
All right, welcome back to it. Free for all Friday, of course. And the phone line is open for your convenience. The free for all common sense hotline open for your convenience. 888-900-9966. 888-900-9966. Of course, this hour of the Steve Gruber Show brought to you by the Michigan 529 programs, making sure your kids and grandkids get the education that they need. To learn more, go to savewithmi529.com. That's savewithmi529.com. Some punches thrown last night during the Republican debate. Some Republican punches thrown back and forth. Donald Trump, obviously, the focus of as many punches as Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz could throw. They're trying to do anything they can to get him off his game. The latest numbers from Michigan, by the way, show Donald Trump with 41% support here. That's up 7 points from just a week ago. That's up 7 points from just a week ago. So Donald Trump is starting to pull away here in Michigan. Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz both down. Marco at 17, Ted Cruz at 14. But John Kasich also on the upsurge here at 12 points, which is about double of where he was not long ago. So, the field is starting to shape up here in Michigan. Of course, the primary here is on March the 8th coming up. Super Tuesday is this coming week. And you wonder if somebody doesn't, for example, if Ted Cruz does not do well in Texas, if he doesn't win Texas on Super Tuesday next week, is he in, is he out, what happens next? So last night's Republican debate was fairly important, and I saw some things that reminded me of debates past. Aaron Call, the director of the University of Michigan debate program, back with us today to talk more about how it went last night. Aaron, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
It seemed to me that I think the best line of the night potentially was Donald Trump saying to Marco Rubio, "You've never hired anybody. I've hired tens of thousands of people." It was a big applause line winner. I thought Marco looked pretty strong, but I thought that set him back on his heels. And for me, Ted Cruz had another average performance at best. How do you break it down?
No, I would agree with those points, especially the, I think the hiring line was good. I do think, though, that Trump missed an opportunity later after that line in the debate. Rubio criticized Trump about being audited, and I think Trump could have used that line again and said, the only reason that I'm being audited is because I actually do create jobs, you know, where you never have. So I thought there was a bit of a missed opportunity there. I think that Rubio had a second excellent debate in a row. I thought he did very well last time. But Trump, even though being attacked by two candidates at the same time and being in the center of the stage, kept his composure and had another good performance as well. And finally, I do agree with you about Cruz. He had a home field advantage being in Texas, and I think the crowd was helped him a little bit, and he started out strong. But in the end, it was mainly a two-person affair between Rubio and Trump, and he was kind of an afterthought. And as you mentioned, Texas is so important for him going forward, because if he doesn't win, he may not even make it into the next debate and the Michigan primary coming up soon.
Yeah, he might have to bow out. I was wondering about this. Let's say Ted Cruz does leave after Super Tuesday. You know, do you think how long does it take, Aaron? To kiss and make up, if you will. I mean, there's been some pretty hard punches thrown between himself and Donald Trump. Do they ever resolve that, or is that just kind of a festering wound forever?
No, I think, some things, it's politics. You never say never, and you have to have a short-term memory. But I think last night we saw that, and this may be true, too, now with Trump and Rubio, that kind of reconciliation may be impossible. And even after the debate, you saw an alliance formed almost between Cruz and Rubio to both attack Trump on stage, and I think that may continue onto the campaign trail. And even after the debate, Cruz said that Rubio would make a much better president than Trump. So no, I think if anything, it may be could be Trump and Kasich. They were, I think, had a better relationship on stage and stayed away from attacking each other.
Yeah, I've been saying that for some time.
I don't know if that would be possible given how heated these debates are, and that's going to continue on the trail and then into future debates potentially as well.
Yeah, I've been saying that for some time, because you have to go back about three or four debates now, and Donald Trump has not attacked John Kasich. He's been basically out of the fray. He made some comments about Ohio getting lucky about their economy because of fracking, but that's about as far as he went, okay? And so He's focused on Kasich, said, I like that guy. Those three or four debates ago, he said it a couple of times. And now you look at it, he says, in picking a vice president, I need somebody who really knows government, who really knows how to work the inner workings. Well, Kasich was in there for 18 years as a congressman. He has a pretty fair understanding. He's been governor of Ohio for two terms now. To me, I feel like Donald Trump is setting the table, if you will, to say, here, I think that the Ohio governor is the guy that I want to work with.
Yeah, it looks that way. And first, I will say that you're right. The only time that he directly criticized Kasich was about the oil, hitting oil and being lucky. And I think that was one of the big mistakes from Trump in the night, because this is a line that we've heard before in previous debates. And last night, Kasich was ready for it with, facts. And I thought that was one of his stronger moments of the night. And so that just shows the danger of kind of recycling lines, and especially then when the candidates are ready for them. But no, I think you're right. Trump has said publicly that he'd like someone to balance out his kind of outsider status and nature, and Kasich could be the one. And that fits with his... He always, rather than engaging and really getting down in the muck, is kind of touted his compromise and negotiating skills. And one of the best lines he had last night was, I thought, on the subject of the controversy between the federal government and Apple, talking about he's the only governor that remains on the stage, and he's had successful instances of brokering deals and things like that. And we could certainly see that. But the one potential caveat to that scenario is Kasich was playing with house money last night, because he's not expected to do well on Super Tuesday. It's more of
That's correct.
A lot more on the line for Rubio and Cruz. But the next debate in Michigan, you could see a little bit more of an aggressive and different Kasich, because it's do or die for him in Michigan and Ohio. So he may have to turn up the heat a little bit against Trump, and that'll be interesting to see.
And we just learned that his numbers in Michigan, Kasich, that is, have gone up from 6% to 12%. Trump has also gone up 7 points to 41. Rubio and Cruz continue to shed support. So we'll see what happens here, Aaron. I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word.
No, I think it's interesting to see how this will affect the race. I thought that this was Rubio had another good debate, but what we've seen is that Trump's been pretty Teflon, and his supporters are so loyal that even when he's pushed in the debates, it hasn't really impacted the trajectory of the race, and I think that'll probably continue, and we'll be in the same place next week.
All right. Well, Aaron Call, always a pleasure, and of course, we'll continue to break them down every time we go through another round. I appreciate your time. There you have it. Aaron Call, director of the University of Michigan Debate Program and Debate Institute. He knows how this all works. It's all on the line going forward. And when we come back, we'll talk about the movies. We'll take a little bit of a break from the serious stuff. Have a little bit of fun on the Steve Gruber Show.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Welcome back to it. It's Free for All Friday, which means it's time to talk to our good friend, Ron Van Timmeren from Celebration Cinemas. Here he is, everybody. Give a big round of applause. It's Ron Van Timmeren. Hey, Ron.
Hey, thank you very much to the audience, Steve.
That's
what's
pretty,
happening?
I'm pretty much in the studio audience, but God bless you, Ron. You know, that's all I got. You know, one of these movies that's coming out, I think it's cute because when I first saw it, I said, they're not really making a movie about that guy. And I think it's coming out this weekend, which is Eddie the Eagle. Because I'm sitting there going, I remember that guy.
Yeah, they did make a movie about that guy. You remember back to 1988 in Calgary Olympics? Is that what you remember?
Yeah, heck yeah. It was like a suicide run every time they sent him down the chute. It's like, maybe he'll land it. Maybe he'll land on his head. You know, whatever. There he goes. It was crazy.
He got cut from the Great Britain ski team, but he wanted to be an Olympic athlete so bad. He picked a sport nobody ever wanted to do from the UK and learned to ski jump. And you're right, it was like watching the train wreck. You couldn't take your eyes off the guy because you knew he was going to crash and burn one of these times.
Yeah, you know, it was just a matter of Whether it's like you don't go to the bullfight or to the rodeo to see if the cowboy wins, you go to see if the bull wins, and that's kind of the same kind of mentality.
That's
you take
exactly when what happened. Yeah. This getting the best reviews of any of the new movies. Hugh
really?
Jackman stars. He's not the Eddie guy. That's played by Taron Egerton is his name. Christopher Walken also in this movie. So it's getting the best reviews of the weekend, but it's not going to score very much at the box office. Unless word of mouth. Remember the Jamaican bobsled team, Runnings movie? Nobody expected that to be a hit, and it was too. So we'll see.
Yeah, you know, it's something different at least. You know, and it's somebody to cheer for. You know, there's somebody to cheer for. Yeah. Hey, we're rooting for you, dude. Don't fall on your head.
Even though you're going to come in last place.
Exactly.
Yeah, that looks like the most fun movie this weekend of the new stuff. Gods of Egypt is one of these big budget special effects, adventure, mythology of Egypt. And, oh, my goodness, the reviews finally popped this weekend. Just today at 12% rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. So, if this is your cup of tea, they did spend the money. Mad Max meets 300 and they go to Egypt together. So. Gerard Butler is the star there, rated PG-13. And then 999, which is the code for Officer Down, really an R-rated crime drama movie, but a good cast. Casey Affleck, Kate Winslet in this, Woody Harrelson. If you like good old action, R-rated action movies, 999 will fit the bill.
That sounds like a pretty decent movie if you're into that sort of thing, and I think I am. What else is running around out there?
Well, honestly, nothing. Pardon me. Is going to beat out Deadpool for number one this weekend. Probably Kung Fu Panda stays number two as well. Oscar weekend, Sunday night, of course, the awards, and I think The Revenant is the best picture. I think Leo DiCaprio gets his first Oscar for best actor. Brie Larson's probably best actress. Even Sylvester Stallone should get the gold for best supporting actor in Creed this weekend.
You think that Sylvester Stallone's going to walk home with a statue? That's pretty cool, actually.
Everybody says so. I mean, Mark Rylance from Bridge of Spies is the other, would be the upset here. But it's Stallone's to win, I think.
All right. Well, there you have it. All right. And Deadpool, you know, and that might not be for everybody, but it sure was funny to me. I'll tell you that. You know, and you can tell a lot about a guy by what he thinks is funny. And that's for sure. And I thought that movie was hilarious. Probably need to see it again. To be honest with you.
No doubt. I know that's the best thing about Deadpool is it's funny. And, you know, it's a dirty humor once in a while. But I'll tell you what, you're laughing so hard you miss half the jokes. You're right. It's definitely worth a repeat viewing. And since I'm going to be off next week, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot with Tina Fey and Margot Robbie and Billy Bob Thornton opening next week. And also a great-looking family movie from Disney called Zootopia, already 100% fresh on RottenTomatoes.com. So, couple to look forward to next week, too.
And if you missed Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, figure it out, kids. WTF. All right, then. you got it? All right.
See you at the movies,
thanks,
Steve.
Rod. See you, buddy. There it is. Ron Van Timmeren, everybody, from Celebration Cinemas, always doing a great job for us. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. And this weekend is going to be a rotten, sloppy mess. All of this snow we have here, by tomorrow, it's going to be in the mid-40s across much of southern Michigan, and by Sunday, in the mid-50s with rain thrown in just for fun. So flooding, if you're prone to flooding, if you have a basement that's a low-level basement, you know, keep in mind, you'll need to keep an eye on it. That's all I'm saying. So check this out. I'm going to do this story as a setup for what we're doing at the top of the next hour. Because at the top of the next hour, we're going to talk about white privilege and applications for your phone that when splitting a bill, we'll make sure that the white guy pays more money. A comedy get together in New York where white men will pay more than anybody else. Here's a story. Three black female college students who claim to be victims of an assault by a group of white men and women have been charged themselves. Officials at the University of Albany announced yesterday that two of the women have been charged with misdemeanor assault and falsely reporting an incident. The third woman has been charged with misdemeanor assault. The women, all 20 years old, claim they were attacked early in the morning of January 30th while riding a bus. They claim that they were called racial slurs and physically attacked by white people while bystanders looked on. Investigators, however, say a review of multiple videos of the incident showed no evidence. The women were victims of any crime or subjected to any racial slurs. It's all made up. In fact, police said the women were the aggressors, assaulting themselves, a 19-year-old white woman. Police said surveillance and cell phone video, as well as eyewitness testimony, contradicted the women's lies. The white men claimed assaulted. The white men that they claimed assaulted them were actually trying to stop the attack. They were being good Samaritans, good citizens. I especially want to point out what happened on the bus was not a hate crime. University Police Chief Frank Wiley said in a statement, according to the Albany Times-Union, the incident created tension on campus, as you can't imagine. Why do you need to do this? Why do you need to make stuff up and create problems and lie? It helps nobody. But we're going to talk about that and this notion of white privilege when we come back at the top of Hour 3 here on Free For All Friday. It's the Steve Gruber Show.